Philippians 4 and 8. If you would, just bow your heads just for a quick minute. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. Lord, thank you for your word. We ask that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. So we thank you, Lord, that your word makes it plain. It leaves nothing to chance or to luck or to doubt, Lord. Your word is true. It is the truth. It is real, Lord. So we thank you. May we live it. May we apply it to our life. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. We open our hearts, our minds to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us this morning. We thank you, Lord. Then let us live it daily. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we've been studying, we've done the... Who's that, Dominique, this morning? Dominique, we're going to be all over the place. Just letting you know now. Actually, Dominique, go to Philippians 4 and 4 before we get to 8. So we're studying the life of Job, which led us to Paul. So we're doing kind of a comparison on Job and Paul and how Job kind of lost it, spent 7 days in his own thoughts. And as we stated before, the enemy will have a field day in your mind if you don't have someone speaking life into you, if you're not into the word for 7 days, just in a and sitting in your sickness or sitting in your mess. The enemy will have a field day. He wants to isolate, alienate, and then eliminate you and I. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Paul kind of flipped the script in verse 4, Philippians 4 and 4, and Paul said, to be glad in the Lord always. And again, I say to be glad, to be happy within the Lord. Remember, Paul is writing this letter while he is in prison. We've read how Paul was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was left for dead. So Paul had been through a few things. So when he's saying, and right now he's in prison, he's saying, be happy and rejoice always. Verse 5, let your graciousness and let your light, so your light is shining, let it be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is near. So Paul is telling us. You and I would say, Paul, you don't even know what I've been through. You don't know what my life has been. And Paul would say, really? I've been through a few things as well. And I'm telling you how to keep your mind strong, how to stay connected to God is to rejoice always because the Lord is near. Verse 6, he says, don't be anxious. Don't be careful. Don't be troubled with cares. For nothing or nobody. That word nothing means for nothing or nobody. Don't let nobody or nothing stress you out. Amen. Amen. Say that. Amen. For Paul is saying, or he said, rejoice, the Lord is at hand. Don't let nobody or nothing stress you out, but in everything, by prayer, seeking God, supplication, and begging God with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. That word be known means to come clean unto God. Let God know where you are. Come clean through prayer and begging God. Verse 7, underlining the peace of God. Underline the peace of God. And I have a read this. It says, the quietness and the rest and the harmony of God. The word passes mean is superior, is better, is supreme above. It outranks our understanding, which is our thoughts, feelings, emotion, and our intellect. The peace of God outranks our feelings and our emotions and our intellect. Wow. Say, let the peace of God guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Says the peace of God needs to guard our hearts and minds from the restlessness of the carnal mind. The carnal mind is always searching and seeking for something or someone to stimulate it. Oh, it's always, it's a beast, it's a monster, it's always on the prowl. But we made the note last week that if God doesn't have your heart and your mind, then God can't guard your heart and your mind. You have to give it to God 100%. Family, there's no way around it. You have to give your heart and mind to God 100%. He can't guard it if he don't have it, if he doesn't have it. We talked last week about the mind and said our mind need to be renovated. We need to be transformed. The metamorphosis need to take place. Paul said we are the letter of recommendation. And Paul said we are the aroma, we're the fragrance. As Christians, we walk into a room, there's an aroma, there's a fragrance that comes with us. And so I would ask you to ask yourself, what did you smell like this week? What was your aroma? What was your fragrance on the job, in the house, with the kids, with the spouse? What was your aroma this week? That's the call that we have until our mind is renewed. Then if we don't start with the mind, then it's just not going to work. Verse 7. If you don't have this underline in verse 7, hearts and minds. Your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Apart from Christ Jesus, it can't happen. It won't happen. It will not happen. There's no way that the peace of God, the quietness, the rest of God can guard your heart if he doesn't have it and if it's not through Christ Jesus. Everything else is just a counterfeit. So family, I was trying to get to verse 8, but you know how I am when I study. Okay, we went over the mind, and I was trying to figure out what's so important about our mind and our heart. Why does it need to be guarded through Christ Jesus? And how is it attached to the peace of God? So then it led me to, if you would, let's go to Mark 12 and 28. I know the ladies in their women's fellowship finished the battlefield of the mind. Because it all starts in the mind. I can't change anything until my mind changes. We talked about it, and, you know, we have some educators in here. We talked about how they talk about the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. God says you need a whole new renovated mind. It don't need to be fixed. It don't need to grow. It need to be renovated. It need to be totally changed. So here we are, and I'm all over the place, family. I promise you I was trying to stick to the script today. But when we're in Mark, let me get to Mark 12. Let me catch up with you all. So we're going to go deep. We're not going to get complicated, but I guarantee you it's going to get deep. All right? So here we go. So I was trying to get to Mark 12 and 28, but you always have to keep things in context. All right? So what came before that? What comes after that? So what comes before that is in Mark 12, 13 through 17, they're asking Jesus questions about taxes. So we're not going to go over that, but it's give Caesar what Caesar's. Yes, we should pay taxes. Okay, you should not bless. You shouldn't cheat on your taxes. You give Caesar what's due to Caesar, but you give God what's due to God. You pay your taxes and you pay your tithes and your offering. Amen. I got two amens. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. But you should. That's what Jesus is telling them right now. But then he gets to a very interesting part in verse 18. They want to talk about the resurrection. And we'll talk about that next week. But let's clear the air on some things, right? So let's pick it up. They tried to give him a trick question and all this kind of stuff. It'd take too long to unpack that. I promise you, on one of our communion Sundays, I'll unpack it. But let's pick it up at verse 24. And they want to know, this guy he was married 7 times, none of them had a kid, and in the resurrection, whose wife would she be? And verse 24, and Jesus answering said unto them, man, you guys are way off road. You guys are way off road. That's what it means to err. You're gone astray. You're way off road. My wife tells me that frequently. And they try and reel me in. Dad, you're way off road right now. It's okay. I do that. Okay? I'm at home. Nobody, you know how they catch people on tape and they're saying things. And I tell them, boy, I thank God it's no tapes at my house. Amen? And you all know that, and especially the brothers in here, because we hang out a lot. And, you know, I want to be a comedian one day. So I'm always cracking jokes. And then, Tracy, you all, honey, you way off road right now. You are way out of control. You can't say that. But Jesus is telling them right here, and you guys are way off road. He starts off by his response is, you guys are way off road. But look why we go off road. Because you don't know the scriptures, neither the power of God. That's why the world is off road right now. They don't know the scriptures or the power of God. And I already told the youth, if you're not fluent in the word, when you get to college, you're going to get eaten alive. Why? Because you don't know the scriptures and you don't understand the power of God. And our youth go off to college and get eaten alive. And they say 80% of them that grow up in the church, when they get to college, they just stray away from the church. Why? Because they don't know the scriptures. They don't know the power of God. That's why we teach our youth here. That's why I personally teach them every fourth Sunday. Amen. So when I see them in 10 years, they won't be there to say, Pastor, I did my own thing, but I knew. Right. I did know. Right. They won't say, why didn't you tell me it was going to be like that when I got to? Right. Because I did. Right. We don't hold anything back when we talk to our youth in our purpose and purity class. We don't. Because we don't want them to be off road. They don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. The people in your job don't understand the scriptures. They don't understand the power of God. And it's just gone astray. But look what Jesus says. He talks about the resurrection. He says, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Make a note. Make a note of that. So when we transition, my daughter JL, where's JL at? She's somewhere around here. She's left the building. We had this conversation going to school. Dad, what happens when you say we'll be in paradise with God? The scripture tells us we're going to be like angels in paradise with God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Make a note. You're not coming back as a dog or a cat or a lizard or a rat. You're not coming back. We're going to be like angels. Make a note of that, especially our youth, because your friends at school are always asking, what happened when we die? This is what the scriptures say. And so on the flip side of that, we know that demons are fallen angels. So I guess you will go to hell and you'll be there with the demons in hell when you die if you're not connected to Christ. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I know that's deep. People don't want to hear that. Right. But if we transition, our souls transition, our soul is a part that does not dissolve upon death. It does not dissolve. The body will, but the soul won't. And Jesus said, you're going to be as angels in paradise, or you're going to be as a demon in hell. Because that's all demons are, fallen angels. But you're going to be somewhere. You're not coming back here. Isn't it something the enemy would convince you live any kind of way you want to? Then you can come back and try it again. You're not Jesus. No, you're not coming. They don't understand the scriptures are the power of God. You're not coming back to get another chance to try it again. All right, here we go. Let me read that again. Let me read verse 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, man, you gone astray, you way off road, because you don't understand the scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as concerning, verse 26, and as concerning the dead, they that rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spoke unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when God spoke, saying he was their God, they were alive right there with God. Amen. That's why he said in verse, he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore, man, you're gone greatly off road. You're greatly gone astray. You don't understand the power of God or the scriptures. When God spoke to Moses in Exodus 3 and 6, he told him, he said, I'm the God through the burning bush. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not dead. They were right there with God in paradise. They're living. Our family members that have died in Christ, they're not dead. They're living with Christ. And those that died outside of Christ, they're separated from Christ. That's not even where I was trying to go. I was trying to get to why the heart and the mind was so important. But you got to put it in context. Now we get to verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, what were they reasoning? What we just talked about, taxes and death and the resurrection. And perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first or the foremost first commandment of all? And Jesus answering, verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your what? With all your soul and with all your and with all your strength. This is the first. That's why the heart and the mind. That's why God needs to guard our heart and our mind, because it's the first commandment. It's the most important thing. We need to love God with all our heart, our mind, everything we got, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That's why God needs to guard our heart and our mind, because the enemy is after your heart and your mind. Amen. Was at a school the other week. The principal said, Professor Carter, they call me professor there because that's what they call me. Anyway, I got to get away from John right now. And she said, I've never seen so many young children with mental health problems. Sister Carter, talk to me. Second grade, first grade, kindergarten, the enemy's after their mind. If he can catch your mind that early, you'll struggle the rest of your life. Family, the spiritual warfare is real. He doesn't know how to play. Was watching the Terminator the other night. I told you about it. That's all he does. That's what Reese told him. He said, you don't get it. He doesn't feel pity. He doesn't feel remorse. He's not fearful. He's going to kill you. That's all he does. He's not going to stop until he kills you. And Satan's the same way, that he's to steal, kill, and destroy. You can't say, I'm just going to play, because he doesn't play. Can't say Satan plays fair. He doesn't play. He can't play fair because he doesn't play. It's a serious attack on our kids and our youth. And if God doesn't guard our heart and mind, protect our heart and mind, because the enemy is not going to stop until he makes you think you're going crazy and you're going to lose it, and God doesn't love you, and nobody loves you, and nobody cares about you, and your family hates you. He's not going to stop. And he's going to tell you, you're not going to make it. That's all he does. He's after your mind. That's why you has to be guarded through Christ Jesus, because God wants your heart. It's the most important commandment to give God your heart and your mind. That's why your mind needs to be renewed. We talked about it last week. And your heart needs to be guarded. God needs to have your heart. Because the enemy's after it, because you know that's the first thing God wants is your heart. Verse 31, and the second is like namely this, you should love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Family, if we could love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and we can love our neighbor like ourselves, it'd eliminate the problems right off the top. But it's attack, because the enemy doesn't want us to. It's attack on our heart. It's attack on our mind. Somebody say amen. Just think back of your week, what you had to deal with last week, but at least you know why. Because we're in the midst of spiritual warfare. Verse 32, I'll go through this briefly and I'll get back to the heart. And the scribe said unto him, you've answered well, master, that thou hast said the truth. For there is one God and there is none other but him. Somebody underline that. There's no other God that's on the level of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you have the interfaith you know, these interfaith meetings. They want to bring someone from Islam and a Buddhist and from this and from that. They're not on the level of Jesus Christ. I get what they're trying to do, but they don't compare to Jesus Christ. Not on this level. They didn't resurrect from the dead. Make a note, and we'll talk more about it next week during the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the only one who was in heaven, then came to earth, told us what it was like, then died and resurrected, and told us how to get there. Nobody else has done that. Nobody's on his level. Verse 33, and to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your soul and with all your strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. You can pray and fast and all that, but if you're not loving God and loving people, you say it really doesn't count. Verse 34, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, when Jesus saw that he was being real, make a note. It's okay to question Jesus. It's okay to ask God a question. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. God, why God? What is going on, God? It's okay to ask God a question, but be real with God. When Jesus saw that he was real, Jesus said, you know what? You're pretty close to eternal life. You're almost there. But it starts with being real. You can't be real with God, you're never going to get there. You're never going to get there. If you can't ask God a question and say, God, I really want to know, and my heart's in it, and I really want to hear from you. And the answer's already in the word. You got to get in the word. That's why he understood it. The scribe, he's one of the religious leaders. He had been into the word. But these other guys, the Pharisees, they just asking questions. They didn't care. That was trying to trap Jesus in his words. But this guy, Jesus said in verse 34, when Jesus saw that he'd answered discreetly, or did he actually answer honestly, he said unto man, you know what? Dude, you're not far from the kingdom. It's hope for you. Somebody say amen. But it comes with being real with God. And then no man after that dared to ask him a question because he got real with God. Most people, they can't get real with God. And they stay where they are. And then we blame others. But it's because I don't understand the scriptures or the power of God, and I don't really care, and I don't want to know because I want to blame everybody else for where I am in life. Family, do you see the importance of guarding your heart and your mind? God needs it 100%. We talked about the mind. We need to have a renovated mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Otherwise, you won't even know what the will of God is for your life. I wrote it down. So we broke it down last week. Until your mind is transformed, your mind must be transformed so we can operate in the mature, finished purpose of God. God has a finished purpose, a mature, finished purpose for our life, and it's in God. But if our mind isn't transformed, we never get there. A mature, finished purpose, not a little baby crawling on the floor purpose. But until your mind is 100% transformed to God, you'll never see it. Okay, well, let's talk about the heart then. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. And let's break the heart down quickly. Why does your mind and heart need to be guarded? Because God needs it. They were marching about gun control this week. Some of our youth walked out of class, and I'm okay with that. But if there's no God control, it don't matter. God needs to be in control. Because guns don't kill people. People kill people. And then, you know, the world changes all the time. Politicians and everything. Science even changes. That's why they tell you drinking coffee is bad for you. Then the next week they tell you if you drink coffee, it's good for you. One cup is good for you. One cup is bad for you. It always changes. Politicians change. And so then, all right. So I'm just thinking, and I'm always thinking. So here we go. And we all know, you guys know, I've been teaching for years. I've been in schools for years. I've had students that have been killed by guns, not to mention growing up in L.A. and the things that my friends who died at gun violence. So I get that. It still haunts me today. But if we're going to march for kids getting killed at school, who's marching for the millions of babies that get killed every year and don't even get a chance to go to school? Nobody wants to hear that, though. The same ones who are talking about gun control are the same ones talking about it's somebody's choice to kill a baby. The same ones. So you're going to march for the kids getting killed in school, but you won't march and you'll say that it's okay to kill a baby and it's a choice? Thank God he never changes. I'm telling you, you get caught up in this culture, in this world, you're going crazy. Because it's a double standard. Built on a lie. That's why we stay focused on the word. They don't understand the scriptures or the power of God, and they're gone astray. So here we go. That's a Jeremiah 17. 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man or mankind that put their trust in man and make it flesh his strength, and whose heart avoids or departs from the Lord. Okay. All right. So make a note of that. So I translated the Lord, the existing one. The Lord means the existing one. God is speaking. He said, you're bitterly cursed if the man or the warrior puts his trust, his confidence, his security in mankind and establishes mankind as his strength. And the heart, let's break down the heart. The heart is your will. It's your emotions. In the Hebrew and in the Greek, it's the same thing. It's a different word, but it's the same meaning. Meaning your heart, it's your will, it's your emotions, it's your moral character. It's the seat of your emotions. It's the seat of your passions. It's your courage. It's your knowledge. It's your understanding. It's your inner parts. It's your conscience. It's your thinking. It's your memory. It's your appetite and your reflection. Oh, my God. All that is our heart. What we reflect on, what we think on, what we want. Think about your memory. Oh, God, that's why God needs your heart. It's a lot of stuff. It's your inner parts. And look at verse 7. It says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Blessed is mankind that trusts in the Lord. And whose hope, whose confidence the Lord is. I just wanted to give you that as a bonus. That's not where I was trying to go, but I want to give you the bonus. Woo! Now we get to verse 9. Verse 9, it says, the heart, your heart, your will, your emotions, your moral character, the seat of your emotions, your passion, your courage, your thinking, your understanding, your memory, your appetite, and your reflection is deceitful. That's why you can't trust your heart. It's above all things is deceitful. Well, I'm going to just let my heart guard me. That's the last thing you want to guard, to guide you. Oh, I feel it in my heart. Oh, you might be feeling something in your heart. Better line it up with the word. See, and then I had to break out deceitful. So what is the heart? Okay, all right, so let me finish this. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's nothing more deceitful than the heart. And it's desperately wicked. It's incurably sick. Who can know it? You don't even know your heart. We don't even know what we're capable of. What is deceitful in the Hebrew? Your heart is sly, is slippery, is polluted, is steep, is fraudulent. Your heart will lie to you. It's crooked. It can't be trusted. The worst thing you could do is follow your heart, because your heart will lie to you. My daughter was telling me her friends at her school, God made me this way. So how could God be wrong? No, that's your heart. And your heart is a fraud. Your heart is lying to you. That's your emotions telling you that. That's not God speaking to you. You don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. Your heart is lying to you, folks. That's why Jesus said we must be born again. Said above all things. The heart is desperately wicked. It's incurably sick. And it said the word insidious. And I didn't know what insidious is, so I looked to Google for that. I had an idea. Obviously, you can put it in context. Insidious is an adjective, which means it describes something. It's describing the heart right here. Proceeding in a gradual way, subtle, but with harmful effects. So it's like leading you down a road. It's real subtle. Your heart leads you down the road, and it's real subtle, but the outcome is deadly. Insidious also means it's cunning, it's crafty. Your heart is treacherous, it's shifty, it's underhanded, it's indirect and sneaky. And then God said, you don't even know your own heart. You don't even know what you're capable of. That's why it says God needs to guard our hearts and our minds, because we're liable to do anything. Hey, if you don't believe me, okay. All right. We had gone out late Friday and got home and just cut on the TV and Snapped was on. And you know how they get you. And you're not even trying to watch it. I'm trying to go watch, see who won the games or something like that. But it caught me. And it said, next, after the break, we'll see who really killed and who really did it. Oh, you can't turn the channel. Now I got to see who did it. And I can make a long story longer, but the wife told two friends that were living with them, which is a problem. Right. Okay. That the husband was abusing her, which was a lie, because she was already engaged to a guy in Oklahoma for 5 years, although she was married to this guy in Tennessee for two. Convinced a 19-year-old guy and a 24-year-old girl to kill the husband. And then we'll say it was two black guys that did a home invasion. Right. I'm telling you, can't make this stuff up. Did a home invasion robbery. Stole the car and killed the guy. And that's just one episode. Watch Snap. Watch Forensic Files. Watch First 48. If you want to know how sick a heart is.
Right.
Hey, you don't even know it. And I'm trying to, who would even go for that? She convinced them to do all life without parole. And then a dead guy. And then the guy who she's supposed to marry in Oklahoma, waiting for 5 years. He had sent her over $100,000. Deception, deceitful, sly. What is it? Well, let me go back over it. If I can find it, right, let me see. It's sly, it's crafty, it's treacherous, it's shifty, it's underhanded, it's indirect, it's sneaky. Who can know? It's slippery, it's insidious, it's polluted, it's steep. You don't even know what you're capable of. That's why God says, I need your heart and your mind. And I'm just sitting there going, but then there's an episode to come on after that. And an episode to come on after that. And then you turn to channel 204, and that's I think that's, and then that's whatever it is, the True TV or whatever, and then Forensic Files is coming on. And I'm trying to figure out what is, but here it is right here. God already told us right here. Let me read it again. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then God says in verse 10, I, the Lord, I'm searching your heart. Search means to examine intimately, to explore. God is investigating our heart. That's why God needs our heart. Family, you and I, we can put up a front. We can play the game. We can fool a fool. We can con a con. But we cannot play with God. We got to come clean. We got to give our heart and life to Jesus Christ. Renew our mind. Give our heart to God. Otherwise, we don't experience the peace of God, and we never get to the mature, finished work that God has already planned for us. And then we go through life and we're frustrated and we're trying to, but we never doubt into God. We don't understand the scriptures and the power of God. So we go astray, getting caught up in other stuff. And it says our trust, our confidence has to be in God. And I thank God that God surrounds us with some good people. We know that. I thank God for that. But we know ultimately, family, you and I, in our hearts, we got to depend on God for everything and then push each other into the presence of God together. And that's where our ultimate trust has to be. So God says, verse 10, that he intimately examines, explores, investigates the heart. The Lord tries, he tests the heart. God is testing you right now. God is testing your heart. The situations that you and I go through daily and during the week, God is testing our heart. Not so he would know what's in it, but so we would know how much we need God to be in it and to guard it. And the reins in the Hebrew is the most secret parts. It even talked about the kidneys for an example, but it's the stuff that nobody sees. It's that secret stuff. God's testing it. He's testing, see what we're really made of. And it says to give every man according to his ways. Every person gets it according to their journey, their path of moral character. That's what ways is. Your journey is different from my journey. Your path is different from my path. So God has given me a different test than he's given you. Because it's according to your journey and your path. The worst thing we could do is start comparing ourselves to other people because it's not the same. And then he says, and we get rewarded according to the reward of our doings, of our deeds, of what we practiced. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every person according to their journey and their path, according to the reward of their practice or of their deeds. We get exactly what God has for us according to what we do. The world calls it karma. It's called the word of God. God say, hey, I'm testing you on your journey. And whatever you're doing, that's what you're going to get. Whatever you're dishing out, be ready to take it. Whatever you're giving, be ready to get it. Because I'm searching your heart. All right. Now let's go back to Philippians. I think this is where we stopped last week. We ain't got to verse 8 yet. Y'all know what's coming next. That's what we stopped last week. But make a note of it. Verse 7, Philippians 4 and 7. And it says, the peace of God. See, that's how the peace of God, it is superior to all intellect and understanding. It's trying to keep your heart. He already said, rejoice. Verse 4, he said, rejoice. Verse 5, he said, let your light shine because the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, he said, don't let nothing or nobody stress you out. Keep praying. Keep begging God. Be thankful. Come clean and talk to God. And he says, with all that, then the peace of God, which is superior to all your intellect, is going to guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's where Job missed it. He couldn't stay connected. That's where you and I will miss it if we don't understand the power of God and the scriptures. If we get disconnected because of what we go through. Family, despite what you're going through, despite what you and I go through, God has to have our heart and our mind. Otherwise, we're out here doing all kind of stuff. As verse 8 is going to tell us, we shouldn't even be thinking about doing. God cannot guard your heart. God cannot guard your mind if he doesn't have it. Then Paul in verse 80 says, finally, brethren, and I'll go through this quickly and we'll unpack it next week. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things, he says, finally, to conclude this message, whatsoever things are truth, whatsoever things are honest, starts with truth and honesty, because if you can't be true and honest with God, stop right there. If you can't be true and honest with God, stop right there. You're not going to go any further. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest, Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, well-pleasing in the sight of God, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, meditate on these things. So now God is telling us how to think. Verse 9, those things, and then he tells us what to do. God tells us how to think, then God tells us what to do. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen of me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And family? Oh, I was going to say, but it's not because next week is Easter. But when we come back to this after our Easter service, because there's a difference between the peace of God and the God of peace. In verse 7, it talks about the peace of God. That's one thing. In verse 9, it talks about the God of peace. That's another thing. And, of course, I'll explain the difference when we pick it up next time. So let's just have a quick word of prayer before we dismiss. If you would, bow your heads. Let's just close this out in prayer. Wow, Lord. So all we can say is, even as I was studying, all I can say is, wow, Lord. Lord, I ask you to give it to them just like you gave it to me. God, just the importance of you having our heart and mind, because the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy our heart and our mind. Why? Because it's the first commandment that we're supposed to give that to you and love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. But if we don't understand the scriptures and the power of God, then we go astray. So, Lord, we accept the challenge to give our heart and our life to you, to rededicate our heart and our life to you, to think on the things that are true and just and honest and pure, to be real with you so that you can work on us and you can get us into that finished and mature purpose that your word talks about that you have for us. But if our mind's not renewed, we never get there. We spend time going astray, and the purpose you have for us, that's the saddest commentary, Lord, that we would live a frustrated life and never got to the mature purpose that you had for us because we never renewed our minds through the word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of going astray and going after other stuff. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just reconnect and line up with you. Just like the scribe, you told him, you're not far off. You're really close. Because you're real with God, you're really close. And we know because of Jesus Christ, it's all been taken care of. He said, it is finished. So we thank you, Lord, for those of us that are in Christ. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't even know if I'm saved. I didn't know I would be like an angel when I transitioned. I thought I was coming back. But God is saying, you don't have to guess this morning. You can know for sure that you are saved. If you've never been saved, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I've been gone astray. I've been way out. Just like the Pharisees, I was way off road. You don't need to raise your hand for that. That's just between you and God. Because God sees your heart. And God knows your heart. You don't even know your heart, but God sees it. And God wants it. And think about it, as sly and deceitful as the heart is, God knows that and still loves us. Thank you, Lord. So if you want to rededicate your heart and your mind and your life to Jesus Christ, that's just between you and God. You're already saved, but you need to get back on track. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we thank you that you do give us an opportunity. Your word says if we cover our sins, we shall not prosper. But if we confess and forsake, we will find mercy. So thank you, Lord. That is just a simple, God, forgive me. I need to get reconnected to you. Help me to renew my mind through your word. Guard my heart and my mind from this world that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Then maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official, and I'd like to join South Bay Abundant Life Church. That's you, elevate your hand. We consider ourselves family and not just members. Yes, we're members, but we go a lot deeper than that. We are family. So, Lord, we thank you. And we bless you, Lord. We know that you sent someone here today, Lord, so that you can remind them how much you love them, how much you care for them. You've already prepared their heart. So we thank you for the heart-to-heart connection you've made with your people through Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity to do better and to be better. Thank you for the peace of God that guards our heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And thank you for the God of peace that's with us each and everywhere that we go. We love you for that, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. And then remember, our leadership training is this weekend. We need to see you all there Saturday, 8:30 to noon. It's going to be a blessed time. Give someone a hug, tell them how good they look, and you are dismissed.